This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, opinion, and opinion from your host here, Mike Shiflett at CFI Bootcamp. This is the May issue, the May podcast, and it's a video podcast of our newsletter. And our newsletter is available at CFIBootcamp.com. You can subscribe to that, and that will send you a hard copy of this with all the links I'm going to talk about, other sorts of things in there. So that's how to get on the newsletter list. Also, you can go to the Power Hour. If you don't know what that is, at the very top of the CFI Bootcamp website, you'll find an opt-in to our Power Hour, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. And that's a one-hour weekly show. We've done 185 of them, and we're closing in on 200, which will be more than 4 years of us doing that every Saturday. And we take selected topics from aviation, everything from things like how to perform the perfect 8-song pylon or the mathematics behind it, and or the deep dives into certain maneuvers. We're doing a new one, which I think is going to be exciting, the history of various maneuvers. So we're going to go through the handbooks and see how those chandelles, lazy eights, eights on, a bunch of things have been modified over the years, and how that they're not quite the way they were, and they don't quite have the same relevance as they did then. Those are teaching tools, right? Not testing things. But anyway, we're still testing them. So let's get on with the show. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. So we have new ACSs and PTSs that are going to be effective here in just a few days. And the 31st will be the day. So that's what's going on. And when that day comes, the ACSs and PTSs are effective, and you can throw away the old ones, the old PTSs and ACSs, because they're being superseded. And also there'll be a new FAR, which will be released at that same time, 61.14, which we'll talk about in a second. So let's talk about what we're going to do in this show. We're going to do new ACSs and PTSs that are becoming effective. We're going to talk about the Power Hour on June the 9th is going to be conducting a sport pilot proficiency check. What's included and what's necessary in that? Why would you want to do that? Is that relevant to us? And we're going to have a special guest, Raul, who's going to be on for that, who does a lot of this kind of thing. And then newsflash, CFI applicants don't know how to use their lesson plans after the check ride. That we found is a big weak link. We changed a lot of our programming at CFI Bootcamp to shore that up a lot. We didn't really have a big problem with that, but while I was listening to the complaints of people around the country about CFIs who are not qualified to teach, they know what to do, then I said, well, we'll just strengthen up our program in that area a little bit better. So we did. So there's that. Then we got three pro tips for you at the end. So this show will be relatively short. It's going to take about 20 minutes. So if you're on your way to the where you're on your way to, then get prepared to ride the lightning. Okay, let's ride that lightning. All right, we're ready to go. Let's get some opinion, especially in this last article. I got a lot of opinion in there. First one, no opinion. It's the new ACSs and PTSs. So in case you didn't know, the FAA released the new ACSs and updated PTSs that will become effective on May 31st. Here's a list of what is basically reflects a traditional path of most pilots, airline or airplane pilots. And so I haven't included every single ACS. It'll be a long list, but I've got links and can tell you how to get your own copies, okay? So there's a new private pilot airplane, single engine land, and that also includes the multi-stuff too, but I'm just making this shorter. Answer rating airplane, commercial pilot airplane, single engine lands in there, and of course, flight instructor airplane single engine is now in there as ACSs. So you can go to FAA.gov, or actually the easiest way to do it is to go to Google and just say FAA space ACS, and you'll go right to the page. Okay, now in terms of PTSs, there are some things that are still staying PTSs. Those things are the recreational pilot, airplane, single engine land, it also has rotorcraft in there. Sport pilot instructor, that's staying the same PTS. They've changed some things in it, but it's a PTS format. And the flight instructor, instrument airplane. I had a conversation this morning with a CFI who called me up and said, I cannot find the flight instructor instrument airplane ACS. And I said, because there isn't one. It's still a PTS. So if you're looking for that, that's where you're going. Now, over the next few months, we're going to publish how DPEs are adjusting their plans of action and how this is affecting practical tests using these new standards. So there are some things the FAA changed or clarified. And I can go through a couple of those with you right now. One is in the commercial ACS. The very end of the appendix, it says that if the applicant is going around from a power of 180 because they weren't going to make it, that's really unsatisfactory. So basically, you don't get a go around. That was an option maybe before with some DBs, but now no. And in the instrument rating ACS, they defined what a precision approach is in the back. So in the appendix, they finally defined what a precision approach is. They removed the reference to LNAV VNAV, so basically LPV. So basically, before they said you can substitute instead of an ILS, you can do an LPV approach as long as the DA is not higher than 300 feet. Is what they said. So now they took that out of there, and I said, "Oh, that looks like a mistake." But no, it's because they defined what a precision approach is, and they said it's any published instrument approach that has vertical and lateral guidance and has a published DA. So they took out the minimums for the 300 feet, all that. Could be anything that has that is going to qualify now. So that's kind of good. Okay, and there's changes in the CFI one, of course, the flight instructor one, but we don't have a lot of time to go through that today, so we won't. We've gone through it previously, and we have some resources up on our website. And in previous power hours, I went through pretty good detail of that. So you could listen to those if you're so inclined. You find that at CFIbootcamp.com under resources. And you'll find it under Power Hour Catalog, and there are ways to get outlines of that and so on and so forth. Maybe there might even be a PDF in there. So anyway, you can do that. All right, now for next week, not next week, the week after, so it'll be the Saturday of our seven-day class. It'll be June 9th. We're going to have, no, it's not June 9th. I think it's, let me look at the calendar. Make sure we're getting this correct, because we don't want to get that wrong, do we? No, we don't want to get that wrong. So it's going to be June the 8th. Yes, June the 8th. We're going to have a special guest, Roel. Roel's a gyrocopter instructor of all things, if you can believe that. There's a lot of stuff around sport pilots. So we're going to be doing that. He's going to review the details of conducting proficiency checks under the sport pilot rules. Did you even know that what that is? You know that if you want to add, once you have a sport pilot certificate, you want to add a different category or class, you don't need a DP anymore. Or you don't need a FISDO inspector. Two CFIs do it. One does the training. The other one does a proficiency check. And then records that on a paper, 8710-1, sends it to Oklahoma City, and you've got a new pilot certificate, right? Or additional privileges on your certificate. So, but there's a lot of trouble with that in terms of people not doing the job they're supposed to be doing as a proficiency check. It still has to be done in accordance with the sport pilot PTS, not just anything the instructor wants to do. So now, is this going to be something big? Well, I don't know. You know, Mosaic is coming out. That's a modification of special airworthiness certificate. It's going to come into law next year. And that's going to allow sport pilots to fly bigger and badder airplanes, depending on who gets what there. At least a 172. That'd be, at least they'll be able to fly those. And there may be some night privileges in there. Might be a lot of things. So you might be seeing a lot of people coming from other categories and classes, like maybe rotorcraft. And they don't want to take a flight test. They just want to fly around in a single-engine airplane when they want to. They could just do a proficiency check, right? Training, proficiency, then they've got it. And if they can fly a 172, that'd be fine for them. So you're going to see kind of that time-building people. You're going to see people who have commercial pilot rotorcraft who want to do a commercial pilot airplane single-engine land. Well, they can't log PAC time when you're in the airplane with them training them because they're not rated in an airplane. They're rated in a helicopter. So what they do is they get the sport pilot thing, airplane single engine land. When they get that, then they can build time. Once they have the certificate, when you're in there with the airplane with them, now they're rated an airplane, they can log PIC time. So it makes a lot of sense. And again, there's no check ride. It's just basically a proficiency check. So you don't have to pay this DP and a mountain full of money. And maybe you pay the other CFI that, hopefully. But you could. But anyway, you'll get it a lot quicker. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. So that's going to be coming to us, the Mosaic thing, and this is going to become more popular. And Roel's going to be there to help you define what a proficiency check is, the regulations around it, the PTS surrounding it, and also how to keep yourself out of trouble, because some people did get into recent trouble with inspectors and 709 because they didn't understand this and they were doing this kind of thing. So join us on Saturday, June the 8th at noon Eastern, for an hour of expert knowledge from Roel. And there's a link. You can just go to cfibootcamp.com. And if you look at the very top of the page, you're going to see a bar. It's like blue. And there's a little thing you can click onto it. That's for the Power Hour. So go ahead and get on that list. And it's always free. It doesn't cost you anything. Like I say, we have kind of a cult following there, usually between 40 and 100 people. Okay, newsflash. This is my opinion. CFI applicants don't know how to use the lesson plans after the check ride. This is what I found. This never-ending world of people thinking the CFI training is self-study, it's no wonder we see this mind-boggling trend. CFIs in training are continuously asking three questions that I hear from the CFI study group. How and what do I study? Number one. Number two is, did you make your own lesson plans or modify ones that are available for purchase? And which lesson plans do I teach first with a student pilot? Basically, what order do they go in? And that's because these people are training themselves how to teach other people to fly. This is sad. This is, and by the way, it's not right. The regulations that address this, for those of you who care to look, are 61-183. And 61-185. So 61-183 says you must receive ground instruction from an authorized instructor in all the aeronautical knowledge areas for recreational, private, and commercial pilots. You have to. No home study course there. Can't do it. It's not self-study. That's required for a flight instructor to give it to you. Then 61-185 addresses the fundamentals of instructing. That also has to be given to you. You cannot take a home study course for that. So anyway, that's where that information is. But these questions are being asked because the person thinks that you self-study for this and you get a two-year CFI to sign you off. You know, that's the idea. This is kind of ridiculous, but that's what happens. This is not how to do this. This is teaching. This is a teaching credential. And you need to understand the content well enough to be able to teach it. Creating lesson plans to ensure that you have this knowledge is crazy. I mean, why are you doing this? Do you think a math teacher goes in and says, oh, let me create my own lesson plan so I can ensure that I know enough about mathematics to teach this class, algebra class? You should have that knowledge already, or you shouldn't be teaching it, right? So what I say is, don't get this thing wrapped around the wrong way. If you have trouble with your aeronautical knowledge, you need to fix that first. You fix it by taking some kind of online courses, of course, at the commercial pilot level, and you see that you can get your knowledge up to where it should be so you can teach this material. Don't make lesson plans in the hope that you're going to find out what you don't know. That just takes way too long. If you want to lose a lot of money at the end of your career, then do it that way. So what is it going to tell you about that? Yeah, so, you know, you think about this. You're studying for your CFI, and you're counting your pennies, right? I don't want to spend one nickel on this stuff because I can do this all on my own, right? So then 6 months later happens and it's still not done, right? You know how much money you just lost? You think about it, you were going to fly a 777 the last years of your career, right? And you're going to make about 300 G's doing that. You would have made about 230, 240 flying something else, but you got a $70,000 bump. So you take 70,000, you divide it by 12, and how many months you're messing around with this is how much you're losing at the end of your career. That's money you'll never get. So this should be done as quickly and concisely and precisely as possible, right? To a point and go to a good place like our place. Our place is phenomenal, right? We turn out people all the time. We place them and go or find another CFI. Find a CFI who's qualified. So what I mean by that is go to SAFE or NAFI. Don't just go looking around, poking your head into some flight school because they're always going to say they can do it. And then you'll get the grumpy person in there who doesn't really want to do it. That's the one who does it over there, and they only do once a month or once every 3 months, and you know, you get all the and then you start, and that person knows less about the fundamentals instructing than you do, right? And they you know that because they say things like this. We're going to cover the FOI, human behavior and effective communication, like next week. So I want you to create lesson plans on that. That's because they don't know, right? They're just going to, and when you're talking, you also know they don't know because we're going to have the aviation instructor's handbook open. And they're going to be looking at it as you go, seeing if you're hitting all the key parts in there. And if you say something like, well, explain that to me. Explain what the domains of learning have and the cognitive domain has to do with Bloom's taxonomy. You're going to get a big old stare like, but they don't do it. The reason we know it, we do it. We understand it fully, right? So that's what it is. So anyway, these two-year CFIs could also just be doing airplane checkouts in a club or flight reviews. Or they could be doing things that are not related to teaching pilots, right? Could be any of that. So, you know, just getting 2 years, someone to sign you off is like, no wonder you're nervous about your check ride. I'd be nervous about it, too, if I approached a check ride that way. You know who doesn't approach check rides this way? That's our military people. We do a lot of training for people that are getting out of the Air Force, right? in Las Vegas. And I can tell you what they say. Every single one of them say this, right? They say, we don't take a test until we are 100% sure that we're going to pass it and prepared. We're never going to wing it. We're never going to, it's not going to happen, right? They never take this approach. And I see other people constantly taking that approach. Like, well, I don't know. I'm out of money. I'm out of time. I'm out of this. I'm out of patience. I'm out of this or whatever you're out of. And then you just want to go do something. And then when you get done, now you're a half-baked CFI. You know what CFI means, right? Beginning, can't fully instruct. That's according to Eric Crump, right? So you only, and so what typically happens is people train up for this in self-study. And then they know what's going to be on the test. They find a DPE they've worked with before. They get this gouge. Of course, that's important. Not that they get a real test. They get the gouge, right? And then they prepare for all those things. And then what happens is they know that they're only going to teach one of three or four Liz lesson plans, right? The lazy eights, the Ascent, something. And then they prepare for that. And they don't touch the other ones. I mean, they don't really teach them out loud. You have to teach this stuff out loud if you didn't know that, by the way. Big secret, tip of the day. You have to teach all this stuff out loud. If you don't, then you're not going to see where you stumble. So, but anyway, you have taught this one or two lesson plans. That's the entire scope of your training is like four lesson plans that you're teaching. Maybe you created them all. Maybe that's great. But you don't know if they're any good. And why are you going to create lesson plans? We've been teaching stuff for 120 years. Why? There are plenty of lesson plans out there available that are good. You just need to know how to follow the format, right? But anyway, that's what happens. And so you really need to find a qualified CFI. So go to SAFE or NAFI. And look into people who do this as their primary thing. Yes, you're going to spend more money. Sorry, bring out the big crying towel right now. Yeah, bring out the crying towel. Oh, boo. Oh, my God. This, when you're done with this, whatever you spent is going to pay you over and over and over again. Money back. It's the only rating to pay you. Unless you happen to work for, I don't know, maybe you got a job here at Bobby's Landing towing banners. What an awful job that would be. For hours and hours and hours and you and they paid you $15 an hour to do that. I suppose you could have used your commercial pilot certificate, but to do that. But in general, this rating is gonna it has the potential to unlock some income for you. Now, if you're time building, I just want to build time quickly. No, you're not going to get paid a lot. But are you going to get paid more in 1 year than you have spent on your CFI training? For sure, unless you're at some deadbeat school, not doing any flying. If you're at a place in an academy or something, you're going to fly 100 hours a month. And remember, every month that you don't get to a major airline and in a 777, you or Dreamliner, whatever that would be, you are losing a lot of money. So please quit complaining about how much this costs and get on with it. Let's move on, right? You like that? Of course, I'm selling my stuff, too. Of course, I've got to do that. But you know, there's what I find is a lot of these programs, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Like you go into this, find the CFI and you say, what's up with the CFI? Oh, they do one a year, two a year. It's a waste of time. So don't do that. Go somewhere it does it. Just bite the bullet, and you'll be better off for it. Whether you go to us, or, you know, you can look at all the others out there. Plenty of, not plenty, there's maybe 5 or 10 of us who do this, right? Who do it. That's all we do. Go to one of those places. Now, the other thing we're going to find is that these CFIs don't know what a syllabus is. Huh? What is that? The very foundation for every class is called a syllabus. It tells you what has to be covered, in what order. It tells you how much time you have to do it. And I find that these CFIs, they're on the big, let's create a lesson plan hamster wheel. Let's create lesson plans for everything. I just put a new intercom system. I need a lesson plan for that too in the airplane. Let's not do that. You know, okay, let's do it for something like avionics or taxi procedure airport, but let's get off the hamster wheel. And then let's integrate, figure out how to say, how do I use my lesson plans, which, by the way, aren't going to work with this, to a syllabus that you buy offline or you get offline, like ASA syllabus. If you take your lesson plans that you created that you spent all this time and work on, or anybody's, and you try to push them in to ASA or Sporties or King's schools, you're going to find that it's going to take you way too long to deliver every one of those lessons to a student. It says you've got 1 hour of ground. It's going to take you like that at least to get through the pre-flight briefings you have to do if you use your lesson plan because they don't work. Go to other flight schools. Walk around the country. That'd be nice. Walk around the country, raise money for cats. Okay, do that. Feral cats. Yeah, do that. And stop in the flight schools. And you'll see these flight instructors aren't using this old binder they made. That thing's in the trash or somewhere. They may have it if they're brand new, but after a while you go like, these really don't work. They're good for a check ride, but that's it, because they cover too much. They cover, you know, everything I need to teach a student who's never taken a ground school, which is rare. Two, everything I need to also demonstrate to the DP that I'm the master of this topic, which is not the way you're going to do it in real life. You're going to give a pre-flight briefing. You're going to say, here's an online course, or here's a ground school to go to get this theory behind you and get all this stuff so you'll know what a steep turn is before we get here. My job is to teach you how to do the steep turn. We use the Air Force approach. Our company, CYI Bootcamp, when we give briefings, we're giving the Air Force approach. It's the how and the what. There's no why. The why is for that's for ground school. That's not for what we're going to be doing. Maybe we might give a tiny bit of why if it's something that we think is dangerous, like load factor. We might give a little bit of why, but we're not going to give a lot, because what we're going to make sure the student has taken an aeronautical course and understands that before we get there. Then our briefings can be 5 or 10 minutes long. Not this 3-hour, you know, ordeal. So anyway, we go over in our course how to teach from a syllabus. We give you a syllabus. We have you teach from it. We say, where does this go? How would you break up this particular lesson? It looks too big. How do you know if it's too big? You know, we go through it all, right? And then when you're done, out of the box, you can start working. And you're not questioning whether you can get someone from zero to private. You're not saying, oh, I wonder where these lesson plans go. Yeah, because you weren't taught. Because you self-studied, right? You weren't taught how to do all that. So get with it, all right? There you go. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that. We're going to close. Oh, can you believe we're almost done? Show's almost over. Holy crap. With pro tips. So we got 3 of them, and I think these will be interesting for you. So one is just something to know. I guess it's a tip, because people are not getting it. If you have contact with flight students in any capacity, so whether you're a front desk person, you're a line person, if you have contact with students, you have to complete TSA awareness training annually, and you have to have proof of that. You have to complete this training even if you don't train or interact with foreign pilots. It takes about 30 minutes to complete this, and you can get it from King Schools for free. That's the one I know and use. I also, if you do a FERC, Flight Instructor Refresher Clinic, like I finished the one AOPA, that's also included in there. They'll give you the TSA awareness training as well. All right, second thing. If you teach and use 4Flight, get the Performance Plus subscription. Yes, the expensive one, the most expensive one. But if you join SAFE or NAFI, you'll get a third off that price. So you give SAFE $45, you'll save 100 and something on that subscription. This highest level subscription includes really great teaching features like 3D view and 3D flights, cloud bases and tops and profile view. You can get things like animated winds around the world. You can teach weather. You can place a surface analysis chart right over top of all that, and you can teach weather theory right there. So much you can do with the Performance Plus version. And also you have synthetic vision. So get that, and you'll find that your teaching time will go, actually ground time will go up. The student will really like it, plus they'll like to use those features as well. So you'll make all your money back anyway, so if you're worried about that. Last thing is stop using slip knots to tie down your airplane. These knots fail quick. So learn to tie a bowline or 2 half-inches. And there's some videos on YouTube that will show you how to make those. But those are way better knots for this purpose. And a bowline especially is purpose-built for this kind of thing. So go out there and do that. And we're going to close out now because we're done. So thanks for listening. And we'll get ready for next month's June ACS and PTS rollouts. And I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about and say when that time comes. And that's it for this edition of Flight Training the Way I See It. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.